What's next for downtown Bloomington now that State Farm plans to demolish its former headquarters there?
As a massive physical asset in the center of our community, to cut that out is a radical surgery where I fear that the patient would not survive.
That's historian Greg Koos. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for GLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Friday, July 19th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with what's next for downtown Bloomington, following State Farm's surprise announcement yesterday that it will be demolishing, not selling, its former headquarters there. Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner called it a sad day.
The loss of that building in particular is sad for those of us who are, you know, strongly interested in historic preservation, and I include myself in that. I mean, it was, in a sense, the skyline for downtown Bloomington.
It's unclear what exactly derailed the sale. It was only 4 months ago when State Farm announced it had found a buyer for the historic downtown building. That buyer was never identified. They reportedly wanted to fill it with a restaurant, retail, and offices. Yesterday, State Farm said the sale just did not materialize, despite the best efforts of all parties. A spokesperson says it's a very large building, and it's not uncommon for this to happen in complex real estate deals. Because the building is so big and hard to maintain, and with the prospect of another vacant eyesore downtown, State Farm decided demolition was the best option. Yesterday's news came as a surprise to many, including Greg Yount, manager at Coldwell Banker Commercial Real Estate in Bloomington.
I think we're all sitting here on the edge of our seat, hoping that the transaction whereby the building would stay and be renovated for different uses would happen, right?
The demolition presents another economic development challenge and opportunity for city leaders looking to revitalize downtown. Here's Mayor Renner.
We've certainly had lots of successes. This is not one of them.
Renner and Yount says there are some advantages to having a shovel-ready site available in a location like that if a developer wanted to pursue a hotel or retail. Yount says it was on the market for more than a year. He says sometimes you got to take a step back to take two steps forward.
How many more years does it need to be on the market to determine that, you know, maybe it just wasn't meant to be?
The building served as State Farm's headquarters until 1974. It was once home to hundreds of employees. State Farm has already removed and preserved all historic items from inside. The last batch of employees were relocated out of the building a while ago. The iconic signage on the side of the building came down last fall. Local historian Greg Koos says State Farm has long been the leading corporate citizen in Bloomington.
To walk away from the central city and destroy a asset that has considerable future use would seem to signal a withdrawal of its obligation as a citizen.
The demolition process will begin in a few months, take about a year to complete. Here are some of the other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. A federal jury in Peoria decided Brent Christensen will spend life in prison hours after it couldn't agree on whether the 30-year-old should be put to death for killing Chinese scholar Yingying Zhang. ISU says this fall it'll begin selling beer and wine at all public concession stands at Redbird Arena and Hancock Stadium. Before now, alcohol was only available in premium seating areas. And there's a new outdoor seating and gathering space at the Community Cancer Center in Normal. It's open to patients, their families, and the general public from nearby Constitution Trail. It overlooks the beautiful gardens at the Cancer Center. Find those stories and more at WGLT.org. It's the freaking weekend, and here to talk about what's going on in the local music scene is WGLT Music Director John Norton. Hey, John.
A freaking hot weekend.
Seriously.
Ryan Denham, goodness.
It's going to be like 300 degrees this weekend. So we talk about music. Is there anything going on indoors? What do we have?
Well, there's some indoor stuff. The Jazz Up Front is bringing in a couple of their perennial favorites. The Bad Boys are on stage tonight, and then Soft Spoken tomorrow night. And I'm putting them in the same breath because they're both sort of an R&B, soul, funk, jazz, you know, that whole mix-max of really fun music. And they get people on the dance floor, and the way they put that music together. It's just fantastic. It's always fun. Matter of fact, Tony Young from Bad Boys is on Sound Ideas if you missed the interview today, and he is pretty excited about his band. So that's what's going on at Jazz Up Front.
Well, let's say I'm willing to brave the heat. I got a little portable fan, giant thing of ice water, whatever. What's going on outside? What kind of outdoor stuff do we have?
Well, let's just hope that Wildemore goes inside at Night Shop. They're scheduled to be on what Chris Goldwitcher is calling the Sound Garden out there.
Love that name.
But Wildemore is a must-see event at Night Shop tonight because the guys in the band, they're just a whole bunch of different music, but basically rock-based, and they're fun. They're just a blast. So they're at Night Shop. And then the Medici Craft Beer and Jazz Fest is tomorrow night. Kevin Hart is opening the show with his Vibe Tribe. He gets credit for being a vibe player, a pianist, a drummer, but he's also a fantastic songwriter. And I don't think he gets enough credit for that. It's always fun to see Kevin. And then there's this person that's my wife playing that. And then Nathan Taylor. Well, I don't want to get too into it. Nathan Taylor out of Canton, who kind of a mishmash of jazz and folk and things like that, too. That's the Medici.
What about, I know there's not a heck of a lot going on this weekend at the Castle Theater, but then stuff picks up next week. What do they have coming down the pike?
Well, I know a lot of folks excited about Connor Oberst coming back to town. He'll play the Castle next Friday. And then, the whole town is geeked for the Black Dirt Music Festival, the very first one. Off the top of my head, it's Edward David Anderson, but he's doing it with Black Dirt Revival. Cody, Chicago Farmer, has Wildemore as his backing band. John Till is going to be up there. Matthew Curry's going to be up there. And, of course, the reunion of Backyard Tire Fire. So this is a huge event. I know Ed Anderson is really excited about this festival. It could really turn into something even bigger over the next few years. So get there for the debut next weekend of the Black Dirt Music Fest outdoors at the Castle Theater, where hopefully it's going to be a little bit cooler than this weekend.
It literally could not be hotter or we'd be on fire. That's WGLT Music Director John Norton. He joins us most Fridays to preview what's going on in the local music scene. Thanks, John.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, we know you come to GLT because we love a good story about bikes. To that end, there's a cool event tomorrow at the David Davis Mansion in Bloomington from 9 to 3. It's called Wheels Through Time, a historic bike show. The event features the history of bikes from the big wheels of the 19th century right up to the e-bikes of the 21st. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.